And welcome into the weekend edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. We've got a couple of shows this weekend. One is going to be focused on the NFL draft. The other is going to be focused on the other big story that broke on Thursday, which we'll get to in just a second. But as I sit down to record this on this late Friday morning, early Friday afternoon, I do have to send a shout out to friend of the show and one of my longtime friends. He's been here on the podcast before, Lance Leipold, the new head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks. Of course, he had been at Buffalo, and before that, of course, won six national championships at UW-Whitewater. I mean, this is the quintessential story of a local guy made good, and I couldn't be happier for him. He's been someone that I've known for a long time, and he has turned around every program that he's ever been to, whether it was first at Whitewater and then at Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo had never done anything before Lance got there. They had never been ranked. They had never won a bowl game, and those two things have happened in the last 2 years, and there were other schools that were paying attention. Illinois was paying attention before they hired Brett Bielema. And, of course, Kansas, with some of the nefarious dealings of now former coach Les Miles, they made the move to bring in Lance Leipold. So we'll effort to get Lance on the program again, hopefully sooner rather than later. But he's got a lot that he's got to take care of in a short amount of time, because this is really late in the process for a coach to be hired. And, you know, spring ball is almost over. And, you know, you got the recruiting season, and then you've got to ramp up. You've got to hire your staff. There's a ton of tasks that new Kansas Jayhawks head football coach Lance Leipold has to do. But sincere congratulations out to him. I texted him on Friday as soon as I found out. I do not expect to hear back from him, because I'm sure that his phone is just blowing up with congratulations, because that's the kind of guy he is. And that's, you know, it just goes to show and goes to speak to how he's touched people over the years. So I'm sure they're going to miss him in Buffalo, but the Kansas Jayhawks are getting one hell of a football coach and a good man as well. All right, let's start with the news of the weekend. And it's not just the news in Green Bay. It's not just the news of the draft. It's maybe not even the news of the NFL, but maybe the biggest sports story right now in North America. And that's the fact that Aaron Rodgers wants out. We first got a sniff of this on our, as you know, most of you know that I'm on 97.3, the game in Milwaukee, and Fox Sports 1070, the game in Madison. Our sister station for iHeartRadio is KFAN Radio in Minneapolis, and their afternoon talk show host, Paul Allen, also the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, he first kind of broached that something was seriously amiss in Green Bay on his show on Thursday.
I have steam. Next level Shanny made a run at A-Rodge last night.
Oh my gosh.
Really? What do you mean he made a run at him?
I have steam. The 49ers went sniffing around Aaron Rodgers last night and summarily were shut down.
Now, they've got the third pick in the draft, so if they were going to make a real run at Rodgers, that third pick had to be part of the conversation.
Along with Jimmy Garoppolo and potentially four other picks, including two next year.
Well, if you're the Packers, you'd have to think about that, because it gives you a chance to reload a quarterback. Take Garoppolo out of the equation. Garoppolo could be your starting quarterback, and you could be okay. Went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Or you put that, and you would put, I would think, if you're the Packers, even though you put a first-round pick into quarterback last year, you're at the top of the first round, you go quarterback again,
I believe,
and set yourself up for another like 15-year run at quarterback. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, as great as he was last year, he's in the final quartile of his career.
It's a quartile.
It's a quartile.
Well, maybe they would have taken Kyle Pitts, the tight end, to put him with Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, Jimmy G, or Jordan Love, but it's moot now, because the steam I feel is pretty good, but the results weren't necessarily the same.
The Packers, you have intel that says the Packers said no.
Correct.
To the number three pick overall, Jimmy Garoppolo, and four other picks or players?
Potentially. One this year or two, that part's vague, but the three and Garoppolo would be the centerpieces.
Man,
would have
been
the centerpieces.
Look, I understand that the Packer fan base would probably have a hard time digesting that trade.
I'm not sure 12 would have.
Oh.
Get out there with next level Shanny from Northern California.
Oh, and Deebo Samuel to throw to, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle to throw to. I mean, Rodgers would probably love that opportunity. And if you're the Packers.
Yeah.
Paul Allen's radio show on KFAN Radio in Minneapolis. Now, there were denials, there were confirmations, and it kind of played out throughout the rest of the day until story after story started to come out that not only was Aaron Rodgers counting on going to San Francisco, he's so fed up with what's been going on in Green Bay. And I guess it really started a year ago when he was blindsided, and that's the only way that you can really say it. He was blindsided by the Packers drafting his successor. Now, in 2019, Aaron didn't have a typical Aaron Rodgers spectacular season. They draft Jordan Love, and what we've seen from Aaron Rodgers over the years is that this is a guy who plays with a chip on his shoulder. You tell him he can't do something, he's going to go out and prove that he can. He won his third MVP award in 2020, and then it was, all right, I just won another MVP, let's talk contract extension. And dependent upon who you believe, dependent upon the stories that have come out, there's been extension offers, there haven't been extension offers, there's been overtures, his agent has been in Green Bay to try to work this out, there's been an extension that's been offered to him, and he said, ah, to hell with it, I'm you know, walking away, or at least I want to walk away. We talked about this last night. I joined Bill Schmid on his No BS program, which is a great show, by the way. If you haven't caught it, from 6 until 7 on 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee, I highly recommend that you do. Bill is one of the great young up-and-coming talk show hosts who's got a hell of a future ahead of him. It was my honor to join him on his show last night, and he and I chopped it up a little bit. I feel like I've lived through this before. I know that that's what I said at the top of the hour during my last sports update. It feels like there are so many parallels between if this is going to be the exit of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay to what happened when Brett Favre kind of executed his exit as well. It was just done a little bit differently. But between these two guys, history has repeated itself in so many different ways. It's repeated itself. They're both three-time MVPs. They both won their only Super Bowl at the age of 27 and didn't get back. I mean, Favre got back, but they lost the next year. Rodgers hasn't been back. If Aaron's done in Green Bay, his last game will have been a home NFC championship game that they lost.
Yep.
I mean, it's one thing after another after another. And I know at the end of the Drew and KB show, you were joking about, you know, whether or not he was going to go to the Bears or not. But eventually that's what Brett, I mean, it wasn't the Bears, it was the Vikings, but right. It was one of those hated rivals that, yes, he had to have 1 year of exile with the New York Jets, but Minnesota was always on his mind. I think he was in his own mind a Minnesota Viking even when he was with the New York Jets.
Well, and think about it this way, because you drew the parallels, and they're right there already, because the 13-3 season coming off one of the best years of your career, and we're welcoming in as well our audience here on 97.3, The Game on No BS, but also WIBA 1310 out in Madison here tonight as we get you ready for the NFL draft that starts up in 1 hour from right now, Doug Russell and myself, Bill Schmidt. But when you draw those parallels, Doug, you sit here with the... I just remember so vile the reaction, and it was so disdain-oriented towards the organization at that time. It feels much different than it was right there with the reaction, at least that I'm getting, and we're getting at 414-799-1973 on the PelletWI.com talk and text line. Feels much more split than it was back in 2008, where everybody was on the side of Brett Favre. Here, it's very 50-50 from what I'm getting, and that I don't understand.
And they shouldn't have been on Brett Favre's side, because technically he did retire and then try to
three
force...
Times. Three times.
Right. I mean, Bill, every summer we were on what we called Tractor Watch.
Yes.
There was a reason that the national media picked up on that. I remember
Ed Warner made Mississippi his home for 6 months.
He did, and you know, I forget which year it was. I was still at Sporting News Radio at the time, so it was either 2005 or 2006. It might have even been as far back as 2004. But there was this golf tournament that Brett Favre was at, and through his people, he kind of let it be known that there was going to be a major announcement from Brett, and you know, this might be it. And sure as poo, Everybody from Wisconsin en masse went on down to Mississippi, and I remember distinctly one of those guys was Lance Allen from TMJ4.
For sure.
And Brett steps up to the podium, and there's Lance that's there, and you know Dan Needles was probably there. I'm sure Tim Van Vorn was there, as well as some of the others from around the state at the time as well. And Brett just stood up to the podium and said, "Why are y'all here?" There was nothing to announce. We went through this every year with him, but with Aaron coming off of an MVP season, so that's one of the differences.
For sure.
We all kind of have this feeling like, man, you know what? Let's run it back one more time and maybe we can get over the hump. Two straight NFC Championship games. They're so close. If maybe they can just get something in the immediate, you know, for an immediate need in the draft, maybe this can push them over the hump and make them get to, what would it be, Super Bowl 56.
And they also, going into last year and separating the differences between the two situations, you mentioned that was like 04. Then there was in 2005, they play the Bears on what, Monday night, Sunday night football, and he gets a standing ovation walking off the sidelines at Soldier Field, for crying out loud. They thought, oh my gosh, it's the last time we're going to see Brett Favre.
See him
thank
again.
You. Thank you, is what they were saying. Then the year later, they're horrendous, right? Rodgers comes in the final series of the game. They're at Lambeau. They're getting trounced by the Seattle Seahawks on their route to a Super Bowl in 06. And you watch it again. You see it again play out in front of you where it seems like he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers has been steadfast in wanting to, one, finish his career in Green Bay, two, play until he's about 40, 41 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a couple of pie-in-the-sky situations. I know Tom Brady makes it look too easy, dominating the game at 43 years old. And he's closer to Brady maybe than he was at Favre at that stage. But when you look at the differences in where the organizations are at, they decided to make the conscious decision to lock up job security, and I'm not taking that out of the equation for Brian Gutekunst when he goes and gets Jordan Love at 26 overall, moves up four spots to do it. There's no way he's moving out of that position as the general manager of the Packers until he plays, and you lock up that situation while also following in the footsteps of your mentor. It made too much sense to the Packers, I think, where, oh, we'll just do exactly what we did last time.
That was 15 years to the day. How eerie is that, that Jordan Love got drafted from, you know, 15 years to the day earlier when Aaron Rodgers was drafted. And I covered that draft, and I thought that they were going to go defense, even with Aaron Rodgers on the board. Because as flaky as Brett had been, that was the immediate need that they had. And instead, they chose Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, turned out to be a great selection for them, but you're not going to get three Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row. That's not even a knock on Jordan Love. I think he's been put into an impossible situation because he didn't ask for any of this.
No,
kind of like
he wants to play football.
He just wants to play football, just like Aaron 15 years prior just wanted to play football. He didn't ask for any of the nonsense that took place. But what I never thought that I would see is that Aaron Rodgers turned into Brett Favre. He turned into the grumpy old man. He turned into the grandpa. In the meetings and everything. And I don't know what his relationship with Jordan Love is. I hope, having lived through a poor relationship early on, obviously it's been mended, but having lived through a poor relationship early on with Brett Favre, he wouldn't repeat that. I don't know what their relationship is right now, but it's impossible to look at Jordan Love as anything other than this is who they picked to replace me. And I don't know how good Jordan Love is going to be. I do know that he threw 17 interceptions his last year at Utah State. That concerns
me. And won seven games in the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, that concerns me. So how this plays out, I never will be of the opinion that you should force out a superstar generational talent.
I'll never understand it.
Too early.
No.
You always go too late. And if we've learned anything in the pandemic during The Last Dance, that was the big mistake that the Chicago Bulls made. They already announced before the season after winning two straight championships and then, you know, three prior to that. And then Jordan comes back and then they win two more. This is it. We're going to walk away from this. Everybody's done at the end of the year. And then they go on and they win another championship. It's like, no, don't break it up now. How have the Bulls been since? And I fear that for the Packers moving forward.
I'll tell you, that's where this feels like it is trending towards. I know Aaron Rodgers has made it known. Pro Football Talk's all over it. And I know Florio's name is just like lava in this town. But the guy is very well connected and a very smart individual covering the NFL. Mentions the fact that, he doesn't want to remain in Green Bay. But generally speaking, the money is probably going to keep him here for at least another month or so, right? The post-June number is kind of where it's sitting, where you end up having to go to save some cash. But it feels like it could be one more run with this crew. They extend Za'Darius Smith to make his number cap friendly, and they'll move him out. Aaron Jones comes back for $1 million against the number. Davante Adams is already sitting there with his contract conversation in limbo. It feels like one more run with the crew that they have here, and we'll see if we can get it done here. But this is the one that I don't understand. And these are the kinds of texts, like this one from the 414 we got at 414-799-1973. Terrible timing. Rodgers is all about himself, gets plenty of money to play, has no reason to have any issues with the Packers. He played lousy in the NFC Championship game. It's time to move on. First off, I'll address the NFC Championship game style. He outplayed the greatest of all time and had his team in position to tie the game after being down 28-10 because your running back, who you gave one of the biggest contracts to, fumbled twice.
Yeah.
So I will go against that. It was his best championship game that he's played. He played lousy in four other ones.
Yeah, he's not been great.
He has not been great in that round. But the getting paid part of it, and I see Tom Brady did a great job of pushing money aside. So that's a complete outlier scenario. Did Joe Montana ever give money back to the San Francisco 49ers in negotiations?
It's a different era, though.
It's very different. Exactly. And it's a different era when you talk about he makes a third of the cap.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the league dictates. Patrick Mahomes is going to be making close to 40% of their cap, and we'll see if that continues on. Are we going to continue to bash Patrick Mahomes the way Packer fans have villainized Aaron Rodgers for that part of it? I would like to see how that plays out, because I don't believe it will happen.
Well, and I also, look, with Patrick Mahomes, they won their Super Bowl before he signed the stupid money contract as well, and what we've seen in Russell Wilson did the same thing
with
the Seahawks.
Russ.
And once you have that quarterback that makes that percentage of the salary cap, it does make it harder to surround that generational quarterback, whether it's Wilson, whether it's Mahomes, whether it's Rodgers, whether it's anybody else. It makes it more difficult to get him those weapons. Now, you can draft, and then you have, it's almost in a sense kind of like baseball, in the sense that when you have a young player who outperforms his contract, then, you know, you ride it out until they get full free agency after six seasons. It's a little bit different in the NFL, but you can have some cost certainty the first few years of their NFL careers. And then, as we've seen with Mahomes getting $40 million a year, well, that is going to hamstring what the Chiefs are able to do down the road. And we've seen that with the Seahawks since Russell Wilson got his contract. And I'm not saying that Russell Wilson wasn't deserving of that contract or Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. They drive the truck. We all understand that. But you also have to understand, and Aaron has to understand, and everybody has to understand, that there's going to be a drawback from that. And that is the difference. And I know that Tom Brady is the outlier, but he's also the one with seven Super Bowl rings.
Sure. And that's where I can't compare anybody to Tom Brady. It's one part of the draft, Doug. I've always loved the NFL draft, right? I had the spreadsheet sitting out. My mom's vacuuming around me like, pick this thing up about this UCF running back in the sixth round.
I think we're going to have to do that tomorrow.
But like, once you get to this stage of it, it does change, and it's going to evolve. It's going to change. 920, when you dictate terms, you're the problem. 22 starters, one third of your cap. You're great, but see ya. Now my problem comes to the same deal, and I'm a different angle of it, right? I generally am going to side pro player. I'll call out a player when I see, you know, struggles and problems on that side.
I go pro player too, believe it or not.
Right, exactly. And that's the part of it where if you're going to be able to make what the market dictates at anyone else's job that's listening to here, you have 25 members of your team, but you're the leader of the team. Mm-hmm. You're going to get paid more money.
Sure.
Am I supposed to give it back so my 25th man feels better about himself? Maybe that sounds better in the break room, but it's just not life, folks.
Well, it's not. But again, I will go back to it's. But there's a trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fans have to understand that. But I'm not ready to say, well, screw Aaron Rodgers. Don't let the door hit him in the ass on the way out. No. Aaron Rodgers just won the NFL's MVP award. I'm not a betting man. I know you are.
Yes.
But I will sit here today and bet you $10,000 that Jordan Love is not going to win an NFL MVP award. Yeah. And That's not even a knock on. There's a lot of great players. There's Hall of Fame players that have never won an MVP award. It's a hard thing to do. It's even harder to win it three times, and
yes.
It's even harder to win at the age of 37.
My favorite one was Dan Orlovsky was on the Pat McAfee show earlier on today, and he discussed it. People just villainized Dan Orlovsky, who, seventh round pick, right? He was a journeyman backup. Yeah. Breaks down quarterbacks very, very well at ESPN.
He's great at what he does.
I think what he does is tremendous. And it's opened up more of people being able to learn the X's and O's of the game. But Dan said, I come out here and say, no, oh, Zach Wilson's a pretty nice quarterback. He could have a career like Alex Smith. Alex Smith?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Alex Smith?
Alex Smith,
what did Alex
career.
Smith ever do? He played 16 years in the NFL.
Alex Smith had a good career.
Made over $100 million. Was he ever maybe the top five quarterback in the league? Was he ever the first team All-Pro MVP? No. Why do we act like five guys coming from this position are all going to walk in and be future Hall of Famers when there's maybe five guys playing in the NFL at any given time that are that at this position?
Yeah, I mean, look, Russell Wilson has never got an MVP vote. He might wind up in Canton.
Yeah, very much so.
So there are a lot of guys that are like that, even at that quote-unquote MVP position. So Alex Smith, who just retired, and maybe there's the parallel between him and Aaron Rodgers, and I think they're forever going to be linked for obvious reasons, but Alex Smith had a good career, man.
Very good.
Very good career. And he was sad, and he all the nonsense and BS that was thrown at Alex Smith the first 4 years of his career, I think he had four different offensive coordinators, including Mike McCarthy.
And it's continuing to grow with speculation because we always look at the San Francisco 49ers with what they had with Joe Montana. They pushed Joe out well before he wanted to.
But they also
retire.
Had Steve Young, and they knew they had Steve Young.
And they knew they had Steve Young. Well, then when Steve Young moved on, they had Jeff Garcia, who, same deal. Jeff Garcia was
a good quarterback.
Good quarterback, right? Was he a Hall of Fame quarterback? Absolutely not. When you start to stack up the years on top of it, I think the Packers are looking at the rest of their roster that I want to see Aaron Rodgers play until he's 44 years old. The wheels fall off, and he can't walk out onto the field anymore. He waves off to the Green Bay Packer faithful, and that's the way he exits, right? That's the ceremonial feel that I like. I like all those good vibes.
But I want him to go as long as he's a really good quarterback, and then maybe 1 year after that. And
yeah.
But I don't know that I want him to crawl off the field on a walker like Brett did.
Like Brett, yeah. Corey Wooten put him out and he said, all right, well, I'm going to have a hot dog during week 17 at Detroit because I really like the ones they sell in section 222. But now that he's going on 38 years old, he's got two surgically repaired collarbones. He's got a broken leg. He's got a broken foot. He's got a torn ACL on his resume as well when you continue to stack down the list. Why are you not having the conversations for four first-round picks that you can get for Aaron Rodgers? You could get the third overall pick here tonight. Mm-hmm. I know people don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. The contract's one more year, and then you cut bait with him. Or you send him for a third-round pick, whatever have you. The conversation, at least when Paul Allen breached it earlier on today on our sister station KFAN up in Minneapolis, was Jimmy G in the third overall pick as the centerpiece with four other notable prospects or draft picks involved. You got to get teams into a bidding war if this is the situation you're in. That's the part of the malpractice that I think the Packers are going to go on if they just dig their heels and say, no, I'm not trading Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and here's a couple of things, and maybe there's some concentric circles. Maybe there's a Venn diagram that has to go along with this. But number one,
really bad at those in school.
Number one, I do think that Aaron Rodgers is thin-skinned. I don't think that he's very he's sensitive to a fault. I mean, oversensitive. He really is. He takes every slight to the nth degree and then beyond, which is absurd.
Maybe he's not the same player if he doesn't do that.
Maybe,
but again, I get what you're saying. Yes.
But again, very sensitive, very thin-skinned. He always has been. That is a criticism, not of his playing ability, but perhaps
maybe
a character fault. I mean, the relationship that he's not had with his family is weird to me. And he not only plays football with a chip on his shoulder, which I think has helped him, but I also think that he lives with a chip on his shoulder, which is not. So that's one thing that fits into the Venn diagram. The other part of it is, if I'm going to blame anyone for the disintegration of the relationship between the future Hall of Fame quarterback and the organization, my blame goes to the organization because they've known that.
Sure.
They've known what Aaron Rodgers is and who Aaron Rodgers is for 16 years, good, bad, indifferent, or otherwise. They knew, and they should have known how to manage that, how to massage that, how to communicate. I was talking about it at the end of the Drew and KB show. I know that our listeners in Madison on WIBA weren't in for that, but the conversation was about leadership. And the most important part of leadership to me is honest communication. Great leaders don't always say yes to everything that even their star, in this case player, but star employees in every business has them. There are star teachers, there are star accountants, there are star postal carriers, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to manage and massage those stars because you can't treat everyone the same. The notion that we're just treat everybody the same, that's not realistic. And even
it's actually really bad business.
It is. It's terrible business.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, you know, cater to everyone individually, and that's what makes a great leader. But the answer isn't always going to be yes, but it always has to be honest.
When it comes down to where the Packer organization and where the decisions are being made, I believe Brian Gutekunst has final say on the 53-man roster.
I agree.
Don't believe that he was alone in the decision to draft Jordan Love last year at the 26th overall pick. And I don't think that Matt LaFleur was as infatuated with Jordan Love as many people had believed. I think it goes a little bit higher than that when it comes down to the dude that reportedly, right now, this was reported pretty heavily by Tyler Dunn in the midst of his, you know, memoir to Green Bay and the blow up of the Mike McCarthy era, when Mark Murphy reportedly dialed up Aaron Rodgers and said, now you don't be the problem.
Yeah.
When did Mark Murphy become exempt from being the problem?
Yeah, the buck stops here, right?
That's where I always hear, right? And Andrew Brandt was in that side of the business. He put out his 2-minute and 13-second dialogue as to what it felt like. And Andrew was there, man, when the contention was at its highest level there in 2000. He lived every bit of it. He's got some thoughts on it as well. And this is the part of the conversation that I wanted to know, and it seems like we'll get back and forth. We'll get the different sides of the story. But Ian Rappaport said over the last month, Aaron Rodgers' agent, Dave Dunn, has flown out to Green Bay for several days of meetings to work through the situation. Rodgers refused a restructure, wanted an extension. Teams knowing he's not happy, they rebuffed him, offered an extension, no deal. Take one, no thanks. Take two, no, you don't get another chance.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I sat at. And we'll see how it plays out for the next month and some change. You can tell us how you would play it out if you're the Green Bay Packers. 414-799-1973. He's Doug Russell. He's here all night giving you the latest in the Green Bay Packer draft. We actually are going to talk a little bit of some prospects that are going to come up. But on the other side, we're going to hear from the man that lived it 15 years ago. I know we all did as well, but we're talking about it right here. He's Doug Russell. I'm Bill Schmidt. This is 97.3 The Game and 1310 WIBA in Madison. It's no BS. Come on back.
This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah.
And to all my peoples in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby.
Check it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha. You never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Ron G, Brucey B,
it's not all good.
I think we're really confusing some of our listeners in Madison, but I like it in a good way.
This is too good.
It's all good.
It's not all good. Not all good in the neighborhood.
No.
And if you know, Aaron Rodgers reportedly,
then you know.
Wants out of Green Bay. Now, Doug Russell, I'm Bill Schmidt, WIBA in Madison, 1310, 97.3 The Game. This little ditty is called No BS. We'll play on this name. But, Doug,
we're talking some Packers football right now.
A lot of Packers football. Round
one
of the NFL draft, if you did not know, also starts up in a half hour at the top of the hour. Doug will take you throughout the rest of the night. But that has come so secondary after the news earlier on today. Doug, first off, Rodgers has not formally demanded a trade or asked for a trade
that
right?
we know of.
We do know that the contention is growing hotter by the moment, and I can only imagine there's some groups that are starting to formulate outside of Lambeau Field if this really goes down.
Oh, I'm sure. And look, what we've heard so far today has been you want to run the gamut of emotions. Oh, there's nothing to this. It's just somebody making something up. Aaron is going to be here forever. And then, you know, story after story after story comes out about how there is real discord between mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And I know that Jason Wilde, who writes for the Wisconsin State Journal, he also does a radio show in Wisconsin as well on another, you know, for another company. He asked Brian Gutekunst about it earlier this week. And Brian Gutekunst, so I don't know where you're getting these questions from. I don't know where. I don't even know. I don't understand.
And how does Wilde have to feel after that?
Well, somebody that's vindicated now.
Absolutely, right? Vindicated now. But to get openly bold-faced lied to, and I've read Jason for my entire fandom as a Packer fan, right? I would be rather taken aback and frustrated. Caller called about it earlier today. How does Rob Domofsky feel?
Yeah.
When he comes out and he's your puppet to say, No, dude, there's no truth to it. No truth to it at all.
I mean, that's what journalism is supposed to be. And that I think that's one of the, I mean, for Jason, and I was blessed to work with Jason for a little while. You know, he's been around for a long time and it's an occupational hazard. I remember I told this story on the crossover the other day. It was a press conference with Ron Wolf. And I asked him specifically about Andre Rison. Now, this was right after the 1996 season.
Sure.
It was in 1997, early in 1997, before they had made a final roster decision on him. And I asked Ron Wolf about Andre Rison. And Ron said, you know what? He performed so well for us. He was so, because I'd been hearing some rumors about Rison and whether or not he was going to come back. And Ron was just effusive in his praise about how he performed at the Super Bowl. He was a veteran presence. He was a good citizen when he came to Green Bay. He came with a little bit of baggage. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He brought it all together, and he was so good for us. And we look forward to you know, him being a Green Bay Packer for, you know, at least the 1997 season. Andre Rison was cut the next day.
There was a really bad moon rising up in Green Bay that day.
I'm like, seriously? But that's just it's an occupational hazard. I think Jason knows that. But, I mean, he basically got, at the time, taken out to the woodshed by the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. And now, you know, just if there's anybody who has reason to crow right now, it's Jason.
I have the audio, and I wanted to play because, one, I loved the steadfast nature of Jason. But where he continues on, and Gutekunst just decides to completely deny the situation.
Hey, Goody, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jason?
I'll be honest with you, I'm tired. I'm tired of an off season where, and I know you guys are streaming this live, so I don't want to use any profanity, but
we appreciate
people
that,
saying that the media are making stuff up. I lived through the summer of 2008, just like you did. So I'm not being disrespectful when I ask you this. We've known each other a long time.
It's a good preference.
I just kind of want some straight answers. Where exactly do things stand, not contract wise, but just in general, between you and this team and your future Hall of Fame quarterback? Is there a
right there? He knows exactly what the conversation is.
Right.
There's no disconnect for Brian Gutekunst, because you can tell in the facial recognition. He goes, oh
yeah.
All right. The conversation's about to happen.
Disconnect.
Right?
Is there unhappiness on either side? Because there has certainly been some intimations of that from some, and I don't think that those people are making it up. So I just want to know where you feel things stand with Aaron and you and with your organization.
Yeah, listen, Jason, I think I understand your question. I'm not really sure exactly where you're coming from.
We know exactly where it's coming from, Brian. You know exactly where it's coming from. It's coming from the conversation, the lack of a restructure of a deal when your MVP quarterback, your future Hall of Fame quarterback, as Jason mentioned, also is in the midst of a situation where he's carrying the highest cap number in the NFL. Now, maybe that's where more of the prima donna conversation comes in, right? 37 plus million he's owed right now against the books. That is the highest number in the NFL. But if it comes down to whether or not Rodgers is open to freeing up money, but also wanting to have a guarantee that he's your quarterback in 2023, then there is some blame to be had on the Green Bay Packers side of it as well.
Yeah, and I don't think, but by the way, just as an aside, I don't think Brian Gutekunst can ever answer another question like that to at least to that reporter.
No, he can't. That's exactly it.
Because you lose credibility when you do that.
You absolutely do.
And Brian Gutekunst right now, after playing that audio, for anyone who hasn't heard it yet, in the context of the news that has come out mm-hmm. today, Brian Gutekunst looks like a liar.
And as well, the part of it where you make somebody else look like an idiot in your own lie as well, you play somebody else as a pawn in the whole situation, it just breeds disconnect. There's obvious
distrust.
Distrust is the best way to put it. That's the best way to put it, Doug. 414-799-1973. Jim's in McGuanago wanting to talk about this with us on the PelloWI.com talk and text line. Jim, you're on No BS.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Good.
That's good to hear. Well, I'll be honest with you. I actually don't really listen to that much sports radio, but given the circumstances of today, kind of like a poor Chicago fan, I decided to turn into the game to hear what's going on. And I'll be honest, guys, I mean, don't you think maybe the Packers are playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers? It's interesting how this is, you know, put out there a couple hours before the draft. Maybe, I don't know. And maybe this is self-fulfilling prophecy as a Packer fan, but maybe they're just trying to scare some people thinking they're going to make some different trades or different moves in the draft and get us some offensive weapons.
I appreciate the call, Jim. It would be a strange way, Doug, for them to throw a curveball to everybody else.
Yeah, that's playing with fire. That's, you know, if that's the state secrets that the Packers are trying to keep from everybody else by throwing that, you know, future Hall of Fame face of your franchise,
yeah.
Maybe all-time face of your franchise. Yeah, I don't.
I'm a gambling man, and that's not a play that I would make.
It's a really bad play.
John Kuhn, our friend here on 97.3 The Game, just said it. So is tonight the night that the Packers get Jordan Love some help?
Wow.
Because, I mean, we can be honest with it. It's starting to feel that way. Now, there's a lot of different reaction that's poured in. My favorite, Doug, has been the reaction of players and teammates of Aaron Rodgers. Adrian Amos was like, it's so crazy how one person can tweet something that they heard from somebody who said that they heard somebody say something, and it can blow up, and now we're in the face of adversity right here. And MVS knows all too well about the power of the internet. He goes, literally, the power of the internet is too strong for anyone to understand.
It may be, but look, I mean, these stories aren't coming from, you know, thin air. Right. I mean,
No. If
we're talking about Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy separately flying out to California to try to assuage the ego of their quarterback, that's, I think, problematic. If you've got that same quarterback's agent in Green Bay unable to come to any kind of agreement and his client not willing to listen, again, I put the blame on the organization, because they know Aaron Rodgers as well as anybody in the world. And
sure,
I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers lets a lot of people in, because I don't believe that he does. But listen, Brian Gutekunst was there when Aaron was drafted. He's been with Aaron for 16 years, working first with Ted Thompson mm-hmm. and then as the head of the organization, at least as the head of the football department. You know, if Matt LaFleur didn't know what he was walking into, okay. But Brian Gutekunst does. And there are other people that have been in the building for that long who know how to, you know, massage that ego. And it's a healthy ego. And I think,
and you have to have a healthy ego to be the caliber of player, for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. You want that swagger. You don't want a meek quarterback. I mean, Brett had that swagger too. And mm-hmm. he had a big ego as well. And the failure of Ted Thompson was that he didn't give a crap about how to manage that ego. And I think that in the end, he realized, and Brett realized, that they did the best that they could, but Brett was a difficult personality. And I think that in years to come, if there's a moment of honesty and reflection, I think that Aaron Rodgers will discover that at times he's been a difficult personality as well. But it's still incumbent upon the organization
sure.
to know that and to manage that.
It's hilarious to me how the narrative around this will continue to change. And it'll be a personal opinion for many Packer fans as well. JB's is, you don't want to be here, then bye, Felicia. We've gone 10 years without a Super Bowl.
Well, you might go another 30.
When did this become Aaron Rodgers didn't want to be here, man? It 3 years back, for the entirety of his 30s that he's been the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, all he's ever echoed is the belief and desire to remain a Green Bay Packer for his entire career. The Green Bay Packers made it pretty clear they're ready to move on sooner rather than later. They're the ones that don't want him here. I don't want to be somewhere that I don't necessarily want to be. I don't want to be somewhere where I am not wanted.
Sure. Oh, 100%. Absolutely. And look, I mean, they've been to the NFC Championship game, what, five times
in his career
as a starting quarterback.
Six, yeah. Five times as a starter. Yep.
Sure. Five times as a starter. They won once, and that was a decade ago. But they're always right there. And again, I will go back to the draft of a year ago as the failure of the Packers to surround Aaron with better talent as opposed to playing, you know, for 2 years down the road because, you know, with their first three picks. I mean, look, I understood all of their picks to a certain extent. I certainly understood the first two.
Yeah.
A.J. Dillon, big bruising running back because, of course, Aaron Jones isn't going to be back in 2021.
Whoops.
Except for when he re-signed in the offseason. But that was a surprise to everybody when he did. But that's why A.J. Dillon was drafted, even though you knew that he wasn't necessarily going to be the feature back in 2020. Mm-hmm. And he came down with COVID, but he did have some flashes of brilliance, so he at least kind of understood that. But Jordan Love didn't take a snap. He wasn't active for one of the 16 regular season and then the two postseason games that the Packers played in, and there wasn't a preseason for which to draw any kind of conclusions as to whether or not he can play in the NFL at all. So I think that's part of the disconnect as well. So, I mean, it's a complicated situation, but if the Packers, in my opinion, would have drafted more for the now as opposed to 2022, we probably aren't having the same conversation today.
No, we absolutely are not. We're absolutely not having the same conversation. Ed Warner was very, very cognizant and understanding of the conversations because he was the Brett Favre conversation. Like, he was the field reporter. I think he moved to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. If Airbnb was a thing back in 2007, he would have had one right down the street in Kill. He said, I asked an NFL GM, this is about an hour ago, how he would expect the Packers to respond to the Aaron Rodgers disconnect. Doug, I'll let you guess how you think the Packers are going to respond.
To the Aaron Rodgers disconnect? Mm-hmm. Oh, they probably deny it. I don't know. The Packers, you know, it's... I don't know how they talk internally, but externally, everything's fine. Everything's great. Well, there's no story here. Aaron is happy as a clam, and we're happy with him, and everything is just hunky-dory.
He's our guy.
Yeah.
He's our guy.
Of course. He's our guy.
Carson was Philadelphia's guy. Josh Rosen also was Arizona's guy.
Right. Yeah.
Tom was Robert Kraft's guy.
Yeah. I think Tom was, but, you know, it was either Bella. It's either Bill or me. And they,
yeah, which one's really my guy?
Yeah, and I don't know if Bob was probably in his massage parlors. Were probably
he was
thinking
pretty relaxed.
Yeah, he was relaxed when he made that decision. It was just the wrong one. He might like to have that one back.
This GM said, "Quote: They dig their feet in and make him play, or be a game show host."
Well, but again, I mean, if you've got a player that's not happy to be there, if you've got a player that's just, you know, kind of going through the motions because he's pissed off at the organization, that's not going to get you where you want to go.
Especially when it's at the most important position in all of professional sports.
Yeah. There's a reason these guys get paid what they get paid.
Thursday night's No BS with Bill Schmidt on 97.3, the game in Milwaukee, or at least a portion of that. And look, we kind of went through it there. Aaron is a sensitive guy. Aaron is somebody who needs to be, quote unquote, shown the love. Aaron is a guy who is a prideful quarterback, someone who knows what his legacy is, and he's also someone that not only is the face of the Packers franchise, the Packers are the most storied franchise in the NFL, and he might be the best player that's ever played for the Packers. And when I say that, I have to pause. I mean, we're talking about more than 100 years of existence. We're talking about guys like Bart Starr and Brett Favre and Reggie White and Don Hudson, one after another after another. And Aaron Rodgers might be the best player of all of those players and more that I named. The Packers have more than 20 players that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and certainly Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of them. I don't know what number he's going to be because there'll probably be a couple that are enshrined ahead of him. Charles Woodson is going in this summer as well. But I asked one of his former teammates, had a chance to chat with John Kuhn, who is now doing media in Wisconsin, including on 97.3 The Game. He's got a statewide program that runs from 9 until noon alongside Brian Butch. And I had a chance to ask John Kuhn some questions about his former teammate on what was really an extraordinary day.
It really has been. It started around, I'd say probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it got a little crazy. It got a little crazy thinking, you know, is draft day a trade day, or is draft day about who the Packers are going to pick up 29? As it turns out, it turned out to be who the Packers picked up at number 29, Eric Stokes out of Georgia. Good pick at cornerback, but man, was it a wild ride for several hours this afternoon.
You know Aaron Rodgers. You played with Aaron Rodgers. You've been in the locker room with Aaron Rodgers. He's called you his smartest teammate. What's your reaction to the news that did come out today that Aaron Rodgers, your former teammate, wants out immediately in Green Bay?
Well, I mean, is it fitting? Is it, you know, coming full circle that at this night, this exact night last year, they drafted his heir apparent, you know? I mean, the guy who's going to take over for him, I mean, this is, you know, what we suspected would happen at some point in time. And I can remember this exact same phone call on the line this time last year when Jordan Love was drafted. And the first thing we all started doing was, when would Aaron Rodgers would be done in Green Bay? When would his contract not have enough dead cap on it so that the Packers could let him go? And at this point in time, Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. Aaron Rodgers has some leverage. And at this point in time, Aaron Rodgers might choose to exercise some of that leverage to either be transitioned out of Green Bay or be extended to a long-term deal in Green Bay to a point where he feels like he is comfortable coming back.
You know Aaron Rodgers better than I do. And granted, when I ask you this question, I'm asking you to speculate. So take that for what it's worth. But in your opinion, as someone who does know Aaron Rodgers, as someone who does know Brian Gutekunst, can this relationship be repaired?
Well, I can't speak for their relationship by any means. I mean, that's way above my pay grade to be able to speculate what Brian and Aaron and what they are both feeling and how they both want to move forward. But the way that I see tonight, the way that I've seen this afternoon go forward, I haven't seen anything that tells me that it can't be repaired. That's the good news for Packer Nation, is that Aaron Rodgers is still the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is still the returning MVP for the National Football League, and he still is on the roster for the Green Bay Packers. So as far as that's concerned, the Packers are either going to have to make Aaron feel like he belongs and deserves the contract that he gets, or Aaron Rodgers is going to want to leave.
What makes him tick? What do you think might make him feel like the Packers want to make that long-term commitment to him?
Well, let me ask you. I mean, how would you feel if you were an NFC championship game quarterback and...
Oh, I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed. Yeah. I understand where he's coming from. I get it. Listen, and he went out and had an MVP season. I'd be pissed.
I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? I mean, what else can be said other than the fact that Aaron Rodgers did go out and he lit it up last year? And I said from about the midway point of the season, Aaron Rodgers was the MVP of the National Football League, and he proved that last year, and he did that last year. And the Green Bay Packers drafted his backup 365 days to this day, you know, give or take a couple days. But sure, this is the first round of the NFL draft. This is the night that they drafted Jordan Love. And this is the day that it comes out that Aaron Rodgers is not happy. He wants to be a Green Bay Packer for life. He doesn't feel like he could be that. He said in numerous interviews that the future is a beautiful mystery. So,
you know, I love that, by the way. That's that's nice.
He's going down the road of, hey, this is what it is. And at some point in time, every athlete wants to be able to control their own destiny. And to me, this is Aaron Rodgers' camp, and the Green Bay Packers trying to come to an agreement on what Aaron Rodgers' destiny is going to be in Green Bay.
How much does this, in your opinion, cloud, you know, what is supposed to be at least a weekend of, hey, everybody got better, there's some new guys coming in, Everybody's excited about it. How much does that cloud that, in your opinion?
I don't know if it clouds it all that much. I mean, I don't know if anything's changed, right? We've been talking for months. We've been talking for months on 9 to Noon. We've been talking for months on 97.3 The Game. We've been talking for months around the state about the Packers, where they're going to go from here. They've been on the cusp of a Super Bowl caliber team for, you know, multiple years in a row, and how Aaron Rodgers is going to feel with the Jordan Love pick coming off of last year. So I don't know if this really clouds the Eric Stokes pick from tonight, and I don't know if it really changes a whole lot other than the fact that it puts it out there to the public that now, yes, we've wondered for weeks. Aaron Rodgers' contract has not been restructured. It has not been extended. He has not had an extension added to that. So there has always been question marks in the air, and now it is just out in the open that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are working on something.
Former Packers fullback John Kuhn. Now, all of this is on the specter of Thursday was the start of the NFL draft, and the Packers chose defense again. The only time in the last, I think, decade that they didn't choose a defensive player in the first round of the NFL draft, when they had a first round of the NFL draft, that was when they chose Jordan Love last year. But cornerback Eric Stokes out of the University of Georgia, someone who's fast, and you can't teach speed, but someone who is maybe still a little bit raw. Did have four interceptions last season for the Bulldogs, which is very good. Guarded some of the best wide receivers, some first-round picks in the NFL, including Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner out of the University of Alabama. I mean, he was guarding all of these guys. Some had thought that he was going to be a second-round pick, but nevertheless, he winds up going to Green Bay with the number 29 overall selection. It was a late first-rounder, but a first-rounder nevertheless. But as you might suspect, and the media did eventually come around and ask about Eric Stokes, but really what everybody was there was, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? And that is how Brian Gutekunst, Packers general manager's press conference began on Thursday night.
How can you make this work with Aaron after what happened today?
Yeah, Rob, I'm not going to get a ton of specifics, but I think, you know, obviously, you know, he's our quarterback. He's our leader. We've been working through this for, you know, a little while now. And, you know, I just think it may take some time, but, you know, he's the guy that kind of makes this thing go. So he gives us the best chance to win, and we're going to work towards that end.
Brian, do you think Aaron's ever going to play again for you guys? How can you convince him to come back and play for you after he seems to be, at least if the reports are accurate, that he has no interest in doing that?
Yeah, I'm not going to speak for Aaron, obviously, but no, I think obviously we got a really good team, and I do think he'll play for us again. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to work towards that, and we've been working towards that on a number of different fronts. You know, the value that he has to our football team is really immeasurable. You know what I mean? He brings so much to the table, not only as a player, but a leader. So important to his teammates, to his coaches. So, yeah, that's the goal.
Brian, I asked you in February if there was any scenario that you could see trading Aaron, and you said absolutely not at that time. Has that changed? Is there any scenario that you can see trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
No, Ryan, I appreciate the question, but no, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
Just wondering if anybody, whether you, Mark, or Matt, could communicate with Aaron today, or when was the last time any of y'all spoke directly with him?
Yeah, I won't go into specifics, but there was communication with Aaron today. There's been communication with Aaron, you know, a lot over the past, you know, 6-8 weeks. So, but there was communication today.
Tell your fans the difficulty in the balance of doing the best for your team by taking Jordan last year and at the same time keeping Aaron on track in Green Bay.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, every decision that we make here is what's in the best interest for the Green Bay Packers. We don't always get it right. But that is always the intent. And, not everybody's going to like the things we do, but when we go about it, it's what's best for the Green Bay Packers.
Hey, Goody, I'll try not to sound so exasperated today. Even Schneider was giving me grief about that today.
I like your questions, Jason, because you give me time to think about them.
That's what I do. Well, this will be short then. You said you're optimistic about Rodgers. Why? What gives you that optimism?
I think we, you know, obviously we have a very good football team here. We have a great organization. We're very committed to him.
And I think, you know, as the lines of communications have been open, I'm just optimistic that that's what's best for the Green Bay Packers. And I truly believe that's what's best for Aaron Rodgers as well.
Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst. Coming up on our next show, we'll have more draft news and we'll go through what the Packers did and did not do, not only in round one, but also rounds two and three on Friday and then the rest of the draft on Saturday. Lots to get to over the weekend. Hope you'll stay with us for that. Have a great weekend, everybody. I hope you enjoy the NFL draft if that's one of your things. If not, it's supposed to get warm in Wisconsin one of these days, right? I'm not sure if that's ever going to be the case. But you can always hit us up on our socials if it's crappy inside and you just want to let your fingers do the walking. Certainly feel free to hit us up on Twitter at Doug Russell Pod, Instagram also at Doug Russell Pod. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. But for all of that, including all of our shows for free download, you can just find us in one very easy place. That is www.dougrussellpod.com. Again, that is www.dougrussellpod.com. Got a couple of really fun shows coming up next week. Hope you'll stick around for those as well. Until then, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.